And if you're really lucky, I'll dance for you. Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we talk about the arts and culture in Columbus. And we are going to talk about holidays. So if you're a Grinch, listen anyway, because we have some great people and we have a lot of we are so blessed in this community to have holiday presentations that will please everybody. And I am delighted to welcome three guests. We have two beauties and Ron Jenkins. Ronald Jenkins is the conductor and music director of the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops. I have to give all his titles. We'll be here for a while. He is the music director of the Columbus Symphony Chorus and the minister of music at First Community Church. How am I doing? Pretty good?
That's correct. Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you very much for being here. Linda Hassler is director of choral music at Capital University. If you are serious about choral music, you need to go study with Linda Hassler. If some of us, like some of us, are too old to study with anybody, you need to go and hear her concerts because they are extraordinary. Linda, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Christopher.
And Sue Porter, she's like family to me. Sue Porter and I have known each other for years, and my wife and she go back in some ways. Sue Porter is the executive director of Ballet Met. She, to do that, left a long and very distinguished career in the legal profession to go and run Ballet Met, and she is here to talk about all things dance, ballet, and we just heard a little bit of music from The Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky. You run a ballet company. Do you ever get tired of hearing that music? Come on.
Never. Never. I never imagined that I could watch 17 performances of The Nutcracker, three morning at the ballets, and a number of rehearsals, and I do not get tired of it. It is wonderful music to have, especially when performed by the Columbus Symphony Orchestra.
Columbus Symphony Orchestra and Ballet Met, they will be in the Ohio Theater beginning
on December 8th.
How many? 17 performances?
17 performances. Some, we will go through the 24th.
And some two a day.
Yes.
You have very strong dancers, physically very strong dancers. You do.
The dancers are amazing. I've seen the performances many times over the years, and it's interesting. Every time I go, wow, they've changed it. It looks new. And what's new are the dancers and the enthusiasm that they bring to the stage.
Also, I have to say, The Nutcracker is never boring for the audiences because they're always filled. People love it. It's a great point of entry for kids and non-kids. If you don't know ballet, if you don't know dance, if you don't know symphonic music, it's kind of a you hit a lot of trees with that stone when you go to the Ohio Theater. How long has this been a tradition? Because The Nutcracker, I know, came from the end of Tchaikovsky's life, and it was not performed at Christmas time in its first performances, and it wasn't that much of a success. And then something happened. People wised up.
Well, they wised up. And I don't know for sure when it started, but I can tell you Ballet Met has been performing it for 40 years. This is our 40th anniversary. Interestingly enough, the first professional performances were right here at OSU. So we're excited about that collaboration and what's happened with that. But we do. We reach over 30,000 people in audiences. We have 160 of our academy students who are part of the various performances. It's a wonderful holiday tradition, and we see families and generations coming back.
Now, I've said this before, but it bears repeating. Sometimes I have a professional and personal need to go and visit you or Edward Liang, your artistic director. I have a reason to be at Ballet Met. And if you walk in of a Wednesday at 2 o'clock, the joint's yumping. I mean, literally, the place is wild with dancers and students, and there are little kids under your feet everywhere. And what's it like working in that environment? Because you come from corporate America, let's face it. You don't have a lot of kids running around in tutus right. In a law firm.
No, we really don't. And 30 years in that environment, it's been a big change in my life, but it is amazing every day. I can sit at my desk, maybe be working on emails, hear the music coming from downstairs, and go into the studios. And, you know, the amazing thing about what we're able to do in this community is have these incredible professional dancers and have a lot of the students who are taking class next door and, of course, peeking in the windows to see what become their idols are doing, and it's right next door. So it's an amazing place. We are so lucky to have this kind of organization and have our own space downtown in Columbus. We're excited about it.
Yeah, you have a space downtown. Now, Edward Liang is the artistic director of Ballet Met. He has been a guest on this program. I asked him to come today, and he sent me an email, and he said, I can't come. Ho-hum, I'm going to Milan to choreograph at La Scala, period. And I responded to him, What? You're going to Milan to choreograph in the theater of Giuseppe Verdi and Callas and stuff, and he was kind of, what's he doing in Milan? This is a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. And when he first explained it even to me was, there's this amazing Italian dancer I want to go and work with, and they want to work with me. I'm so excited. I said, great, what are you doing? He goes, well, there's this bank, and they've commissioned a piece, and it's going to be performed in Switzerland. I said, Switzerland? Really? Where? You know, thinking I need a vacation. You know, we'll go and see it. He goes, this place called Davos. And I said, Davos? There's only one thing I've ever heard of associated with Davos, and that's the World Economic Summit. He said, oh, yes, this is going to be the opening performance at the Davos World Economic Summit. It is the only performances and entertainment they're going to be doing there. So he is going. He is taking Columbus out into the world stage, and we are so lucky that he and so many other artists in our community have decided to make Columbus their home.
That's happening more and more. And if you want to hear just some real beauty that probably will be at La Scala someday, but right now it's a Capital University, listen to this. I hated to fade that down because I wanted to sit here and I wanted to share that and revel in it. That is the Sanctus from a Spanish composer from the Renaissance, Tomás Luis de Victoria. It is the chapel choir at Capital University, one of the charges of Linda Hassler, who is here. Their annual Christmas holiday presentation is called this year Tidings of Comfort. It opens November 30th and runs through December 3rd at Mays Hall at Capital University. You guys really know how to put a show on. Tell me about, there are how many different vocal ensembles and how many different conductors and how much music? And let me shut up and let you talk.
Thank you. Yes, well, there's 5 different choral ensembles, 3 different conductors. There's numerous instrumentalists, both students in the conservatory and musicians from the community that are all part of this. We have a narrator each year, Bev Pettit. And so the whole concert is really more of an experience than just a concert. And could fairly be called choral theater, which is actually an emerging theme right now. We've been doing it for a while. So
well, expand yes. on that, choral. I haven't heard that before. That's intriguing to me, choral
yeah,
theater.
Yeah, it's a new emerging term out in the choral world. It's when a concert is not just the choir standing on stage and the audience passively listening, but they might not don costumes, but they move. And there might be some kind of readings in between. And there's usually a spiritual punchline of sorts, a theme that emerges and tells a story as opposed to a set of songs sung beautifully. And certainly that's the Christmas festival, and our theme this year is comfort. And it's born right out of, the 18th century carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, but more importantly, what's happening in the world, the war and threat of war and terrorism and natural disasters and tragedies and the challenge of how to find the spirit of joy in anything, even Christmas, given the reality of the world we're in. And so we're seeking through this concert not just to offer comfort in terms of some very joyous music and readings, but also to challenge our audience to comfort each other through community. And so
you do 4 or 5 performances every year of your holiday program.
Yes.
And Mays Hall, I think, seats about 1,100 people where you are. And you are sitting on people's laps because it's very crowded. What is bringing all these people to you? I know it's excellent. I know that because I've been there a couple of times. But if people haven't been there, what is bringing them into that theater in so many numbers?
Well, that's a good question, and we're grateful for it. I think part of it is that it's meaningful beyond the beauty of the concert. I think it's, excuse me for coining another term, I made this one up, but it's like choral IMAX, because you are surrounded by the sound. The choirs are weaving in and out of the aisles and on stage. There are many times that the audience actually joins the choir by singing the carols. So it's an immersion in beautiful choral singing, but also an experience. And I do try to program in a couple of twists every year, and there's a good one this year. That's all I'll
That's
say.
That's a surprise. That's
yes,
right. That's right. And Ronald Jenkins is here. Ronald Jenkins serves many segments of the public in music here in the Central Ohio. He is the conductor and music director of the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pop. So it's very nice to see you on stage in front of the orchestra and chorus. I've seen you in front of the chorus many times, but to see you really leading the entire performance as you do every year for the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops. You actually invite Mr. and Mrs. Claus to participate.
Yes.
You have dancers from Ballet Met.
Yes.
You have actors, and you have the extraordinary chorus. And I want to make the point that Columbus Symphony Chorus, which performs a wide variety of repertoire, is all volunteer.
That is correct.
They love to sing. They sing well, but you're not necessarily cultivating opera soloists to join the choir.
That is correct. We're looking for people that obviously have good voices, that can blend with others and can sing in tune and have an enthusiasm. It's wonderful if they can read the music the first time, but I'm more important after people who actually have very good ears. And I know that they are going to get it and they're going to sing it in tune and with some degree of emotion behind it.
You have very, very loyal audiences, rapidly growing audiences. Yeah. People, it's sort of a destination for a lot of families. I know a lot of large groups come to your Holiday Pops concert. And by the way, your repartee from the stage is always delightful. Very terrific.
You know, I grew up in a little church, and we were just used to getting up in front and
hallelujah.
Yeah, you know, I sang my first solo in church when I was 5 years old. So it's just sort of like getting the family together. I think one of the things that brings families to this particular concert is that they can have everything from sacred music of the season, classical music of the season, to singing along with
that
wonderful
singing.
You
have a sing-along, don't you?
Yes, with the wonderful orchestra and the brass ensembles out in front. And they get to hear the children's chorus, which is absolutely excellent under the direction of Gene Wolgemuth. In fact, there's two of them in the balconies and on stage, and they're all sort of around. And this year, they have a surprise appearance in sort of far off in the heavens singing. And then dancers. Young dancers, adult dancers, narration, and of course the surprise visit. So we get everything from Chesnikov and Schubert and John Rutter to I'll Be Home for Christmas in the second half, and it's just a little bit of everything.
Or as we used to sing up home in Boston, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Yes.
Now, we're going to go to break in just a second, and as we are ushered to break, we're going to hear music by Craig Courtney from Capital University, his Holiday Orchestra with Holiday Overture with Ron Jenkins conducting the Columbus Symphony. The Holiday Overture by Craig Courtney, Ronald J. Jenkins conducting the Columbus Symphony, part of the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, and Craig Courtney is certainly important to music in Central Ohio, important to Capital University. I know where he is a colleague of Linda Hassler.
Yes.
And Ron Jenkins, you were just saying you've commissioned him about 7 or 8 times for music for the Holiday Pops.
Right.
Yeah. The Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops opens when?
December 1, Friday night, December 1, then 2 performances on Saturday the 2nd and a matinee on the 3rd.
So what's the third? What's the fourth performance like for everybody on the stage?
It's actually maybe the most exciting because it's guaranteed sellout.
Yeah.
Some people love to go to the last one and be there and all the energy kind of comes. You think, I can't do this again. But actually you do, and it's quite exciting.
These are all in the Ohio Theater.
That's correct. This year we're celebrating there's two pieces that I'm really excited about. One is the Chichester Psalms. We're doing the first movement of that. And this is the 100th anniversary. We're celebrating the 100th birthday of Leonard Bernstein. This entire year. And that is – I always put in something that's difficult, very difficult for the chorus, a little challenge piece, and also for me as a conductor because it's 7-4. Where's that eighth beat? Well, there isn't an eighth beat. It's always 7-4, and it's moving forward. It's so exciting. We sing it in, obviously, in Hebrew to celebrate the season of Hanukkah. And then the second half, we started last year doing something different. Instead of all the adults singing together or singing with the children, the women sit down and the children's voices take the soprano and alto points, and the men sing the tenor and bass parts. And we're doing Bob Chilcott's Shepherd's Carol, which is just a lovely a cappella piece again.
Ronald J. Jenkins is talking to us about the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops opening at the Ohio Theater December 1st, our own Columbus Symphony. By the way, great news. Our music director, Russin Milanov, has signed a 3-year extension to his current contract, so he will be here. And you have performance. You have the Brahms Requiem coming up,
I think, in
the spring. And Aida, Verdi's opera. You're a busy guy with this chorus.
Yes, we are busy. Yeah. Right.
We are talking today about the holiday programming and more here in Central Ohio. Linda Hassler is director of choral music at Capital University. She is very much part of Tidings of Comfort, which is the holiday program at Capital University, opening also November 30th, I believe.
Yes, it is. December 1, 2, 3, and on the 3rd, it's a matinee as well.
In May's Auditorium. And Sue Porter, the executive director of Ballet Met. Now, we talked about Nutcracker. Let's reiterate when it opens.
It opens on the 8th of December, 17 performances. The last will be on Christmas Eve, the 24th.
I bet that's a great night to go on the Christmas Eve. That's probably fantastic to be there.
It's really wonderful.
Right, yeah. That's also with the Columbus Symphony?
It is. We're so lucky to have that partnership.
They are busy. They are. When you're that good, you're that much in demand, you're that busy as well. Is this Gerard Charles's production?
It is, and we've been doing this production since about 2005. So it has stood the test of time, and we think about changing it, and people don't want it to change.
Right.
It is a holiday tradition for the whole family.
Rough estimate, although you probably know exactly the number. How many children on stage?
Well, there's 160 in the various casts. So it is our Academy students. It is amazing to be backstage when this is all going on. We have incredible volunteers and a great staff in our Academy that makes it all happen.
Tell me more about Ballet Met and what's to come after Nutcracker.
Well, after Nutcracker, our artistic director, Edward Liang, is going to do a brand new Giselle, which will be beautiful. All brand new choreography, sets, costumes we're building from the ground up. The other thing, we're going to be closing our 40th anniversary season with another brand new production called Dorothy and the Prince of Oz. It is, at this point, the only ballet that exists to a Wizard of Oz theme. It is got puppetry and all kinds of movement and a score that was written for it. And we also believe that we may have some live music, hopefully with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra for that, which will be, again, another tremendous program.
So you and Edward are building two new productions right after Nutcracker. So you have a lot of power bars being eaten down there on Mount Vernon Avenue.
We are busy.
That's because the public wants it. They respond to it.
Right. And I think to be able to do new work is one of the benefits of being here. And we love to bring the world to Columbus by amazing choreographers and bring their work here. But to be able to create it here and take it out is also one of our missions.
You perform in the Ohio Theater, also in what's now called the Davison Theater. We used to know that as the Capitol Theater on Capitol Square.
We do. And interestingly enough, we started this season at Mershon.
Did you really?
So we had a new – we haven't been there for quite a while, and we had Parallel Connections, which was a collaboration with the Ohio State University School of Dance and the Wexner Center for the Arts. So we were very proud to open our 40th year with that program.
I want to take a pause for a second and hear back-to-back a couple of pieces. First of all, some audience promotion for the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, and then I want to give a hats off to the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus and their conductor Tim Sarsony with Joy to the World.
Let's go see what our audience has to say about Holiday Pops.
It was great. We loved it.
I liked that it was pretty informal. There was a lot of joking around. It was a pretty friendly atmosphere.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. You should absolutely come. It's a great way to start the holidays.
I loved it. This is the 29th one I have watched.
It was a great show. A lot of great talent. Very entertaining. And touching in a lot of ways.
Excellent. First time ever.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
just a few samples. The Columbus Gay Men's Chorus, conducted by Tim Sarsony, Joy to the World. Prior to that, we heard some audience approbation from last year's Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops. If you loved it then, you're going to love it now. Back at the Ohio Theater, conducted by Ron Jenkins, my guest on this program, with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra and the Columbus Symphony Chorus. Speaking of a great choral program, tonight at 8 o'clock at St. Joseph's Cathedral, Fiorangelico, which is a wonderful choir that does a lot of Renaissance music, is in performance, presented by Early Music in Columbus, conducted by Matthew Bester. They are doing a program of Spanish music, and it's a wonderful thing to sit in the cathedral with the lights off and listen to great choral music from a time gone by. The acoustic there is very flattering. It's a great environment, and it's a wonderful chorus. Fiorangelico, conducted by Matthew Bester. It is tonight at 8 at St. Joseph Cathedral, a presentation of Early Music in Columbus. Just tell them I sent you. They'll seat you and be happy to see you. Linda Hassler, you are here. You are in charge of all things choral at the Conservatory at Capital University, where you have a number of wonderful colleagues. Tell me what's going on at the Conservatory. We know about the holiday programmings, but that's 4 days out of the year, so there's 361 left.
Yes. Well, we've been very busy leading up to this. We had a Reformation 500 concert, and we collaborated with our band and my colleague Jeff Gershman. We provided the chorus for Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses at the Ohio Theater, so everything from Reformation music to Symphony of the Goddesses, and we had a homecoming concert. This Christmas festival, we are one of the featured guest ensembles for the ACDA Central, North Central Division Conference in Chicago. That's a
American Choral Directors Association.
Yeah, it's about 11 states, and we're one of four university choirs. So that's an honor. We're singing for the OMEA, Ohio Music Educators Conference. We have a composer in residence, Eriks Eschenvalds, Latvian composer, coming in March 15, 16. So we're premiering a work of his, so I've commissioned a work. We're excited about that. We don't have it yet, any day now. And then we're also planning a concert tour to Argentina, to Buenos Aires and Uruguay, so we're excited
about
that.
I want to come.
Well, we can maybe work that out.
I can't sing, but I want to come. One thing I wanted to ask you is, you probably get them when they're still in high school, when they're interested in coming to Capital, when they're cultivating the idea of becoming students. So when a youngster comes into your studio and they want to pursue choral music, or they want to pursue applied music or music education, any of the disciplines at the Conservatory, what are you looking for, even when they're very young?
Sure. Well, I can tag on what Ron said. Of course, we want to know that they have a level of musical skill. They need to have an instrument in their throat. A good ear, I find that to be probably one of the most important things as well. And then a desire, a love for singing and wanting to make music, and a work ethic, because sometimes there's a confusion about what looks like a glorious career and what's involved in becoming a musician. And they always come and visit a choral rehearsal, and they're intense, I will say that. And so if they're enthusiastic after having witnessed that, that's another good sign that they want to be a part of something like that.
How has music education at the college level changed since I was a student in the Carter administration? That's it was one thing then, but it's something very different now because of technology and things. How have things changed?
Well, as you've already said, certainly knowing how to utilize technology in the classroom is a big part of it. I think the music that we except as part of the choral canon is much more broad-reaching. I think we know much more about those styles and have role models for them. Our students need to know how to reach a wide range of a student population and not presume necessarily that they've had any piano lessons, because back in the day, kind of every household had a piano. I would say that there's still some things that are very basic, and that is a solid command of musicianship theory and audiation and leadership skills. And then the trick is how to reach students who are now part of this whole online kind of mindset. Their ability to absorb is short-lived sometimes.
I wanted to ask each of you, because nowadays with everything is virtual this and virtual that, and I'm older than I'm probably the oldest person in the room. So, and I still like to go downtown and hear performances live. I'm just a little bit concerned that people are losing what it is to hear something live, to sit with people in a theater and hear and see something in the moment as it's created, rather than hearing it on your phone or something. And I don't want people to lose that. Are we in that danger?
Well,
Sue Porter,
yes.
Ballet Met.
I think there is some danger, but I still find that people do want to come and see it live. We've had kids come in for morning at the ballet and look and say, oh, isn't it great? I'm watching TV on the stage, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's so we try and educate them what it is like to be able to see a live performance. To us, the challenge is getting them to come down to the theaters and see it. Mm-hmm. We are looking at our mobile apps and saying that the average attention span now is 8 seconds. If you can't get them in 8 seconds, your chances that they're going to go to something else.
I've been in meetings about that.
Right.
I have.
But it affects us in the arts as to how we're going to sell tickets to get people. If we can get them in the theaters, at least in our experience, we can get them to come back.
Does that 8 seconds or that does the new technology, which evolves and changes every day, does it change it, what you do, each of you? Does it change what you offer the public?
I don't know about technology for me so much as that same thing I was talking about, a story, an engagement that you invite them in. I think the days of the performers are on stage and the listeners are there and there's this distance of this gap
distance
between
is
us.
Gone. Yeah.
No, that we invite them in
right.
in
yeah.
all the ways that we can. And that's the right thing to do. I think that's the good spin on what technology and has helped us realize we need to do more of.
I think technologies help. You never get your heart beating fast from sitting at home listening to music. You just don't. But when you're in the room and you can see the sweat and feel maybe there was a little shaping of the phrase that was different than you've ever experienced before, I think how it's helped us is that people may hear a work in a recording and then all of a sudden it shows up on Capitol's performance or the symphony's performance or something, and you buy a ticket because you actually want to hear it live. It's so different.
I know once I took a couple of busloads of high school kids to the opera, and it was a very long, it was a short, sexy, bloody opera, which is the best thing to take young people to. And they all had a good time, and they said, this is way cool. Where are the mics? You know, we didn't see any mics. And I said, there are no mics. And it was in Music Hall in Cincinnati, which was 3,000 seats. And there are no mics. And that really impressed them, that there was no amplification. And I said, you're hearing pure, real sound, which is what at least the two of you do.
Yes.
What Sue Porter and your dancers do are things that very few people in the world can do, to move like that and to dance like that and to live the disciplined kind of life that they must need to live to do that.
Our professional dancers come in and take class, and that's both at the bar and doing jumps and spins for 2 hours, and then they move into 6 hours of rehearsal.
Yeah.
And many of them go out then in the evenings to work out in other ways. So the dedication that these people have to be a professional athlete and dance is something that I could have never done.
Right. Because I didn't know dance, and I'm hardly knowledgeable, but I do know the company a bit. I am second to none in the respect I have for the people who dance for your company, because my God, the work is just extraordinary. And it is better to look good than feel good, you know, as they say. But sounding good right now, we're going to hear a piece sung by the Chordsmen at Capital University as part of the holiday performance you're going to hear. Something like you're going to hear when you go to May's Auditorium next week. This is a Spanish carol where a wolf is being kept from the baby. Riu, riu, chiu.
Riu, riu, chiu, la Guadalibera.
Everybody sings this in high school.
Dios guardó el lobo de nuestra cordera.
Was the editor of all these.
Riu, riu, chiu from the Spanish Renaissance, sung by the Chordsmen at Capital University's Conservatory of Music. They are very much part of your Tidings of Comfort presentation in May's Auditorium, which you call Virtual Chorale or Choral IMAX. What was it?
That's what I mentioned, Choral IMAX, yes. So Craig Courtney directs the Chordsmen. My dean and colleague, Lynn Roseberry, directs the Women's Chorus. I direct the Choral Union, our community ensemble, the Chapel Choir, and then we have a vocal chamber ensemble called Philomel that does sort of a more pop style of singing. Collaborative pianist Michael Lester, who is an art to watch as well as listen to
at
the piano.
I know. Michael's great.
Yeah, and Chad Baker, our university organist, and as I said, then a multiplicity of other instruments that are involved. I wanted to mention, Christopher, that as part of this comfort theme, the choirs are also have made it a goal to get off the regular stage where it's easy for them to perform into places that might not be able to hear them otherwise. So next week, Tuesday, we are traveling to the Ohio Reformatory for Women, and we are presenting a concert there as a real commitment to bringing comfort and bringing our music outside of our normal comfort zone.
That's going to be good for the people in the reformatory, sadly, that they're, and probably very good for your students as well.
Absolutely.
To see that.
Absolutely.
Part of the education mission.
Exactly.
We're going to take a break, and as we do so, we're going to hear again from the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus, conducted by Tim Sarsony. Up in Boston, we would say, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I hope you're singing along. We all are here in this room. Now the mics are on now. The Hallelujah Chorus, music by Handel, with the combined choirs of the Ohio State University School of Music and Orchestra. They, too, are performing holiday concerts in Mershon Auditorium. I think it's Mershon or Weigel. It's right there. You park in the same place. It's fine. You know where...
I'm pretty sure it's Mershon.
Mershon Auditorium. Shout out to the School of Music at The Ohio State University for their wonderful annual winter seasonal concerts. I want to tell you about something that is involving those of us here at WOSU. This is called the Great Hallelujah Holiday Tour. It is Saturday, December 2nd at 2 p.m. It is a collaboration with WOSU's Classical 101 and the Columbus Landmarks Foundation. We're going to take a walking tour of four area churches downtown. First Congregational Church, St. Joseph Cathedral, the Broad Street United Methodist Church, and Trinity Episcopal Church. We're going to hear their choirs, their carillons. We're going to hear their organs. We're going to have a few words about the architecture of these magnificent buildings, and there's food and drink as well. That is December 2nd at 2 p.m., the Great Hallelujah Holiday Tour. You can get tickets and information from WOSU.org/classical101, and I will hope to see you there. Sue Porter, we were talking a little bit about Mike, and you reminded us of something the Ballet Met's doing right now.
Right. We're very excited. We're presenting a program called Front Row, and we've called it Front Row because we're doing it in our very own black box performance space. It's an intimate setting. It is three short ballets, one by Ma Kong, who, interestingly enough, just choreographed M. Butterfly on Broadway with Julie Taymor. Edward has a brand new piece, and we also have a new choreographer to us, Andrea Schmoli, and she's done a piece to Bob Dylan music. So it is a different type of program for us. It is intimate. You will see the dancers in a way you do not in some of the other theaters we are. We have some tickets available for Sunday, either at 1 or 5:30 p.m. Please come and join us and see us in our own home as we continue the celebration for our 40th anniversary.
Is it balletmet.org?
It is.
Balletmet.org for tickets and information
yes.
about that. The Black Box is in back of your building on Mount Vernon Avenue. They're There is parking, I think.
There is a parking lot there.
Right,
so. And we've also arranged with Columbus State to be able to use some of their lots for this. So their parking won't be an issue.
So don't make that a reason to stay home. And it's I always enjoy going to see the things in your performance space because you are right there. And it's sometimes experimental. Sometimes they're still working on things. And it's really seeing not only the dancing, but the process, which I think is really interesting for people. So
makes the dancer sometimes a little bit nervous because you really see how hard
they're working. You get sweat in your eye, too, sometimes. And that's okay. That's part of the live experience, you know, of sharing that. Ronald J. Jenkins, I want you to give us a reminder of the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops. First of all, how long have you been doing this?
The Holiday Pops, this is our 34th year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been with the chorus 35 years, I think it is, yes.
You are the conductor of the Columbus Symphony Chorus. You are front and center on stage, which is nice for the Holiday Pops in front of the orchestra.
Right.
Tell me about the collaboration with the orchestra and the chorus as the conductor for all and how that happens out.
I actually would like to talk about the collaboration of the three of us. I was just really moved by listening to these women talk about what they do in the community and how much the groups intertwine. I mean, the symphony does the ballet sends dancers for Holiday Pops. There isn't a year goes by that we don't use a piece by Craig Courtney from Capital University. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning, I have a rehearsal with Chad Baker because he's the accompanist for the children's chorus who's going to be performing. I just wish, I'm going to get political. I just wish our country would do the kind of collaborative interchange and working for a common good that I see in the arts organizations in Columbus.
The arts have a lot to teach, don't they? The arts
they do.
They have a lot to teach if people would pay attention. I'll say no more.
Yes. So our concerts are coming up. We have Aida in February. We have my absolute favorite piece for chorus and orchestra. I mean,
Yes, mine too.
The Brahms Requiem.
I want to hear that. If I die and I hear that, I'll know I've gone to heaven. If I don't hear that, I'll have a problem. But if I hear that,
You're going to hear the Brahms and my second favorite, the Durifle. But gorgeous piece. And then the Debussy Nocturnes in April to finish up the season for us. Our performances are December 1, 2, and 3. The tickets can be got online at ColumbusSymphony.com or at the ticket office, 614-228-8600.
And even though the dates overlap, everyone's doing multiple performances, so it's very easy, and most people do go to Capitol and the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, and then they take a breather and they go to Ballet Met's Nutcracker.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what?
And Nutcracker,
And
yes.
Nutcracker as well. There's no reason to stay home during the holidays. There really isn't. If you want some great entertainment and some great music and the arts here in Central Ohio, then you are living in the right community. I don't really know another community where I've lived where there's such riches constantly at such a consistently high quality. And I do salute you for that. Tell me more, Linda Hassler. You mentioned that your choirs are going to Buenos Aires on tour. Tell me more about that.
Well, It also is, in a way, an extension of this idea of singing out into the world and bringing this theme of comfort and joy around the world. Always traveling together for a choir brings them together like nothing else does. Singing for audiences at different places in the world gives them, and we always add to our repertoire music of that area, so it helps them experience another culture in, a deeper way than if you're a tourist only. Part of that tour, we're working out the details, but there will be a service project, some kind of element to that.
That you would do, your kids will do in Argentina?
Absolutely. And always a part is at least one collaboration with another or arts organization or another choir. Those experiences, college kids adore them. And it's, it's kind of an obvious thing to say, but music is this universal language. And so it's part of that. About every 4 years we do that. So Chicago and Argentina. And
Argentina's kind of a leap, but that's great. You know, why
not? Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I wanted to mention about our tickets, though was sold out First thing this morning, I have it on good authority that at 10 o'clock today, some seats that were reserved have been released into the system. And so it's an opportunity to still get tickets. And on Thursday night, there's some upper balcony tickets, but they go fast.
They
so
go
I really
fast.
Urge you might be really lucky today if you jump on today.
Just go to Kappa. Kappa's, Kappa's ticket office.
Yes.
You go to Kappa.com and look at the ticket office there for tickets for Tidings of Comfort at Capital University, their annual holiday presentation. Always has a different title and a different theme.
Yes, it does.
How many people are on stage?
Well, roughly? There's about 200 singers, at least 25 instrumentalists, three conductors. And as I said, it's a constant flow. There is no applause.
No, I know that. Yeah, that's right.
So it's a pageantry and a narrative, and I take a little pleasure in hearing people want to start to clap, but then they remember. And it's all part of the fact that it's supposed to be like this developing experience as we go. And so applause would break that up.
And that works too, because and there's no, but I think there's no intermission. It just, it's just a continuous
exactly.
flow, but it never, ever seems long.
Good.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Thank you.
And it's probably long for all of you doing it, but it never for the audience seems long.
I'm glad. I think it's that constant changing of ensembles. It's the fact that they do stand and sing with us. The readings, I mean, our reader, Bev, is very engaging.
She
and,
is.
Of course, they set up the music. So it's really like a story time in a way as well. So and it might seem long for us, but it's also thrilling to give this concert.
When do you start rehearsing for it? For
these well, we have easily since
September?
Yes. In earnest, in October, we were especially busy, so things got compressed a little bit. But I've tried to overlap some of the programs so that it's not all brand new. But it's the big focal point of the semester for all these young students.
It's a real focus, and I think I imagine when they walk off stage after the last performance, they're on a high. There's some kind of a high.
They are. Yeah. And alumni write in and say, "Thinking about you, we know you're rehearsing. We wish we were there." You know, they can at 2 o'clock every day. They remember that's when they used to be in choir every day.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's a great. Thing. Yes.
When I look at the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, I'm always reminded of what everybody says every year on TV. If you watch the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade, they say, well, we start planning next year's parade the day after this Thanksgiving on the Friday. And I sometimes think that's what you must have to do with the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, that on December 4th or whatever, you're having meetings for next year's Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops.
Maybe not December 4th, because I'm on to other concerts at that point, but January for sure. And sometimes, and I'm sure this is true with Linda too, in planning a program, you come across and then you begin to sift through and organize it, and that just doesn't work this year. I'm setting that aside for 2018, and that does happen a lot for us. But it's a lot of people up there on stage. We were talking about numbers, and they're all big groups, counting the orchestra and the two children and the adult choirs and guest soloist. It's a little over 300 people that are on stage. So it's a lot to coordinate. But everybody gets into it. I don't know why. It's just such a – well, I guess I do know why. It's a joyful time. And people
yes. –
I do not get tired doing it, because I think this is – it's so enriching. It's like oxygen to your spirit. It just and to see the people enjoying it so much.
Yeah, that has to be a thrill for all of you to see the audience reaction.
It is.
I mean, Sue, you're probably like counting the house, nervous, because you run the company and you have to have the revenue. But I it must mean a lot to the performers and certainly the conductors to look out there and people really are completely engaged and having a good time. You know, God forbid people should enjoy the performing arts and have, because it's like, you know, liver or vitamins, it's good for you. So you sit there kind of tight like that. But that's not true anymore. People really have fun.
Well, I know when I watch people come into the Nutcracker, you know, and people come in their holiday garb, and we try and have a lot of experience. We have live musicians that will be in the balcony as people are coming into the Ohio Theater. We try and make sure that people have time to go and see the symphony in the pit, because I know kids love to be part of that and then engage in the theater. But to me, some of the morning at the ballets that we run for the school children are really a moving experience. You see young children who've never been in a theater before walk in and just in awe of this amazing theater we have in our community. So it's great to see.
Lights on.
Lights on.
Lights on. You know, that's a great privilege that a lot of us have who work promoting the arts. We get to see the lights turned on with kids or even adults who don't really – like, where are the mics? Having mm-hmm. that – having somebody ask me that question. Right. And when I explain what acoustic sound is, it's a light.
And for the performers, too, I can remember working really hard with my church choir a few years back getting ready to go on tour on Eric Whitaker, which mm-hmm. for a church choir is a step beyond because you just rehearse once a week. And we had worked on it several rehearsals for over a period of a couple months, and finally they got it. And all the chords were in tune, and all that wonderful ethereal feeling you get from singing his music. And it was silence in the room.
Yeah.
And finally one of the sopranos, an older woman in the section, said, "That's why we do this. For that feeling, that emotional feeling of, you know, coordinating your talent with all the people that are in the room and working for this common project. It's an amazing feeling."
And I think to get that, you have to be there live.
Right.
I do.
Yes.
I think you have to be in the theater. You have to be there live.
I think so, too.
I want to make a couple of points in the few minutes we have left. Our friends at the Columbus Jazz Orchestra and the great Byron Stripling are collaborating on a holiday program November 29th, 30th, December 1 through 3rd. And it features my opera girlfriend, Peggy Dye, soprano, who is the artistic director of Opera Columbus. And my friends at the New Albany Symphony do something very special. They do a sensory-friendly performance. Every program they do now has a component of a 45-minute performance with the symphony and conductor Luis Biava and guests, which is designed for audiences that might need a little extra TLC. They might be people on the autism spectrum. They might be people with Alzheimer's. They might be people for whom a long concert is not a good idea. The audience is invited to do whatever they need to do to make themselves comfortable. If that means wandering around, if that means going into the lobby, if that means whatever it means, you are welcome to do that. And Santa at the Symphony is December 16th. And the Holiday Pops, December 17th, the New Albany Symphony at the McCoy Performing Arts Center. I'm giving you a lot of information. You don't have to write this down. I'm doing it for you. It is on websites all through the community. But I want to make the point that there is really, again, no reason to stay home. If you want some kind of really some joy for the holidays, you are living in a great community for that. In the time we have left, Ronald J. Jenkins, conductor and music director of the Columbus Symphony Holiday Pops, give us again when, where, and what.
Yes, the Ohio Theater, Friday, December 1, two performances on the 2nd of December, and then a matinee on December 3rd.
Linda Hassler, director of choral music at Capital University. When, where, and what?
Capital University, Mace Hall, November 30, December 1 and 2 at 7:30, December 3 at 3:30. Tickets online, Kappa.
Yeah, good luck. But
I know,
go now.
But try.
Go
yes,
now. Try.
Yes.
Go now. And Sue Porter, the executive director of Ballet Met, the Nutcracker.
The Nutcracker opens December 8th. We have 17 performances. The last will be on December 24th. Come join us. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster, also balletmet.org.
And I thank you all for being with me today, for sharing some holiday fun with me. Again, you're living in a great community for the holidays. I'm Christopher Purdy. My thanks to Shyla Nott, our producer. My thanks to everybody involved with All Sides Weekend and All Sides with Ann Fisher. And I lost my script. So thank you, whoever you are. Here is the Waltz of the Flowers from Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker. Go get tickets.